Let us turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we shall read from verse 3. We shall read verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And the title I've given this morning is Christmas. Christ came to condemn sin in the flesh. During the last 2 weeks, we have been reflecting upon the event called Christmas. First, we asked the question, what is Christmas all about? And the scripture tells us that Christ came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15. Last week, on the Lord's Day, we looked at another text from the scripture. And this text says that the Son of God came that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. Today we are going to look at another very important text relating to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. And this is taken from the letter of Apostle Paul to the Romans, the text that we just read. And I'm going to read the second portion of this verse, Romans chapter 8 verse 3. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So the scripture says that God, by sending Jesus Christ, condemned sin in the flesh. Now let us break it down. The Son of God took birth in the likeness of sinful flesh. Likeness of sinful flesh means he became exactly like mankind. So the Son of God, who is divine, having substance of God, mind of God, heart of God, power and knowledge of God, equal to God, became like us, men. He is from heaven. He is called the second Adam. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, became exactly like us. Sinful flesh here describes the nature that we human possess. We have a body, that is flesh. Our nature has senses. We crave, we desire, and this incites us to sin. Our physical nature is also subject to suffer. We as human beings are prone to sin, prone to oppose God. Our mind is carnal. Our mind is in opposition to God's mind. So the Son of God took upon him human flesh, human mind that has desires. These desires can lead to sin. Like us, he had the mind and the body that there was a possibility for him to sin and to oppose God. The difference is that we humans, being prone or having the possibility to oppose and rebel against God, we certainly sin. We certainly disobey God. Christ was prone or had the tendency, but he did not sin. He did not go against God. The Son of God took flesh, became man, because mankind had become sinful. Human beings were wrapped up with sin. Human beings were totally subject to sin. Human beings were in enmity with God. Look at verse 7 and 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Why is mankind in enmity with God? This is because of our first parents, as you know, Adam and Eve. They rejected to be under God's rule. So, they came under a curse. Humans cannot please God, and we cannot be subject to the commands of God because we are cursed. Humanity is cursed. We cannot reach out to Him. We cannot make peace with God. We cannot take away the curse from our lives. We cannot by ourselves reach out our hand and grab the life that is in God. We cannot. No matter where we go and which way we turn, we cannot get rid of that curse. We carry the curse of sin wherever we go. Sin and rebellion runs in our veins, in our flesh. Sin is rooted in every man's body and mind. This curse has thrown us in the camp of the devil. The devil is the adversary of God. He is God's enemy. It was he that injected our first parents with rebellious venom. The venom of the devil runs through our blood. By venom of the devil, I mean the works of the devil. And we looked at it last Sunday. What are the works of the devil? The Bible says they are adultery, sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like this. It's mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. Now all this is within us, and we have no power to overcome these. And we who are of the flesh seek after these things. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, so we cannot please God. You see that we are so much immersed in this way of life that we just cannot come out of it. We cannot get rid of it. Therefore, these things have brought death in us. Death in us. And so verse 6 says in Romans chapter 8, for to be carnally minded is death. It is death, dear friends. Why should anyone become interested in a dead people? Why should anyone be interested in a cursed people? Look, we cannot get anything right. We cannot get rid of poverty. We cannot get rid of so many sicknesses. Yes, we have made great progress in these few decades, but we are still the same. We cannot get rid of drunkenness or smoking habits, drugs and AIDS. We say peace, peace, but there is war, war and more war. We talk about equality, but this is only lip service. One powerful group of people push and crushes the weaker group of people. One ideology crushes the other. The housing prices are going higher and higher. Homeless and destitute are on the increase. Earthquakes, storms, mudslides, floods, food shortage, havoc in weather conditions, famine, accidents, and now the body and soul of innocent children are torn apart. Our children are deprived of their innocence. Every kind of evil is being dumped on them in the guise of freedom and progress. Everything around us is dead. It's dead. Yet, God so loved the world. God so loved the world that He gave. He sent His only begotten Son to take flesh, to be born of a woman, and condemn sin in the flesh. And this is the reason why God sent Jesus, the Son of God, on this earth. The Lord Jesus Christ came, took flesh in order to save sinners. He came to destroy the works of Satan, and He came that He might condemn sin in the flesh. What does it mean to condemn sin? To condemn sin means to give judgment against it. It means to give decision against it. It means to rule against it. It means to declare that this talk, this thought or act is worthy of punishment. It means to expose evil and say it is evil and it's got to be punished. That is what it means to condemn sin. Let me illustrate it. A football player comes from behind and kicks the foot of the player having the ball and not the ball. He does not go for the ball, but he kicks this man's leg. It's a foul play, isn't it? It is a wrong move. It's got to be punished. A decision has to be made by the referee against it. So, he shows a red card. To condemn means to show a red card. That's what it means. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ did to sin. Jesus came into the world to show red card to sin. God sent His Son Jesus Christ to show red card to every ungodly opinion, every ungodly idea, every ungodly thought, and every foul act. That's why He came. Jesus Himself did not commit any sin. If He Himself was a sinner, how can a sinner give decision against sin? How can a sinner expose evil or punish evil? 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 22 says, "Who," that is Jesus, "did not sin, neither was guile found in His mouth." He was totally pure, totally without any foul. Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit. He was born holy. Nevertheless, He was clothed with human flesh. So He thirsted, He hungered, He had desires, He felt angry, He felt hurt, but He did not give into His desires that would make Him sin and rebel against God's will. There was no red card shown to Him. He never gave into evil thoughts, evil desires, and evil acts. There was no foul play in Him. There was no guile found on His lips. He was altogether pure. The Bible tells us that He was tempted. He was tempted in every way like us, but He did not sin. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15, "But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Well, also you must be aware of this, that Jesus was God. He is all powerful, all knowing, all invincible, but He did not hold on to this supernatural power and knowledge. He put it by and became a servant. In fact, he became a man of no reputation. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So we can with certainty say that Jesus is not a myth. He was real. Real like you and me. He lived in our history. Everything that is told about the Lord Jesus Christ can be understood by human beings. He entered into our human world, real world, not a make-believe world. He loved us and demonstrated his love by dying for us. Oh dear friends, who cannot understand such love? Who can be so blind to such love? Yes, you can reject this love. You can turn your back on this love. But you cannot deny that there was no such love demonstrated in history. The wounds that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered on Mount Golgotha or Mount Calvary will be the witness, dear friends, against you when Christ Jesus returns again to judge the living and the dead. So you must be ready to investigate. You must be ready to search your own heart. You must be willing to look into the Word of God, to look around the signs of the time, and able to come to the conclusion that indeed I am a sinner. I am a wretched person, and there's only one who is holy and righteous, and that is Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who became man. Now, let us try to understand how the Lord Jesus Christ condemned sin in his flesh. No man could do it. There was no man found on this earth who could do the works of God alone. Hercules, Zeus, Apollos, Pan, and all other gods are gods of the imagination. There was no man fit for this job. So God had to send his Son to do it on our behalf. And this is the reason why the Bible says that salvation belongs to God. Only God can save through Jesus Christ. Please take note of this. We humans have three main areas of weakness in our bodies. First, we see. We see with our eyes, and so we desire to have it. Whatever we see, we want to have it. We want to possess it. We want to make it our own. It could be a house. It could be a woman, a man, a car. It could be a child. It could be anything. Even a small pencil or a pen. We look at it. We are taken up by it. We desire it and we want to grab it. We want to have it. We want to possess what we see. Secondly, our flesh have some desires. Desires to get drunk. Desire to destroy someone's name, his house, his wife, his family, his children, his very life. Our flesh lusts to eat and eat. Our flesh desires to possess the women or men that we see. Our flesh desires to own and accumulate lots of money, lots of property. Our flesh desires to wear luxurious clothing. Our flesh desires to feel high all the time. It wants to experience pleasures of all kind. What our flesh desires, we want to have it. We want to have it. Thirdly, our mind desires to be the greatest, the best. Everyone must submit to my ideas, to my feelings, to my ways. I must rule over everyone, others. I must stand above all. It is all about I, me, and myself. The Bible calls these three the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. This is the carnal mind and the carnal flesh. We cannot escape, dear friends, from its snares. There is no escape from the desires of our eyes, from the desires of our flesh, and the desires of our mind. Who can say that they have overcome these desires? Can anyone say that? So, these temptations come from within us. Then, there are the temptations that come from Satan. There are also temptations that come from other human beings, from our family members, our friends, our teachers, our rulers, our religious teachers and neighbors. What happens to us happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we must be very careful as to what circle of friends we are surrounded with, what circle of people, or even the schools or the college that you are entering in. It's very important, because all these things can lead us into sin. Christ Jesus was tempted in all the ways that we are tempted, but He did not give into those desires. He was also tempted by Satan and his fellow men. He overcame them. He not only overcame them by being distracted from them, or pushing it away from him, or running away into the desert like some people do, or sitting under the tree and cutting off from all the people and trying to get enlightened. No. What did Christ do? He condemned them. He condemned them. He judged them and passed sentence on every temptation. He showed them the red card. That's what he did. How did he do this? You remember Satan told Jesus to turn stones into bread. He also told Jesus to jump from the top of the temple. And finally, he offered Jesus the whole world if he would fall at his feet and worship him. Here you will see an example of how the Lord Jesus Christ condemned sin in the flesh. Satan told Jesus that if he is the Son of God, he should make the stones into bread. Satan was trying to provoke Jesus to desire to eat and even eat a stone by making it into a bread. How did Jesus condemn this sin? He passed a sentence on this evil idea and punished it by the word of God. Quoting the scriptures, he said in Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Satan also showed Jesus the whole world and said in Matthew chapter 4 verse 9 to 10, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And then Jesus said unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Satan was provoking Jesus and awakening his desires to go against godly desires. Satan was tempting Jesus to be independent from God. to desire the things of the earth and reject God. Jesus attacked it and killed it by godly desires, by godly opinion. He passed sentence on that idea that was not godly. People also tempted Jesus. For example, the Pharisees and the Sadducees in Matthew chapter 16 told Jesus, "Show us a sign from heaven." In other words, if you want us to believe you, show us a sign from heaven. Jesus had shown them so many signs and wonders. Every time Jesus did signs and wonders, it was not for his own benefit, that he may be exalted. No, he showed signs and wonders for the benefit of the people. Not to show off, never to show off. But they were trying to incite Jesus' desires of the flesh. Jesus told them that the only sign that they would get is a sign of Prophet Jonah. And by this, Jesus was referring to his resurrection from the dead. How humble Jesus was. He, not for once, gave into the desires of the flesh, which went against God. "Why are you healing on the Sabbath?" they questioned. They tried their best to persuade him to stop doing good. God is good, and he does good, and oh, that is just. It was the Father's desire that Jesus heals people, even more so on the Sabbath. For Jesus had come to give rest to our souls and to our bodies. The Lord Jesus Christ never gave into the desires of his flesh, desires of his eyes, and the desires of his mind, leading him to sin, leading him to go against the will of God. The Lord Jesus Christ lived not according to the desires of his flesh, but according to the desires of his heavenly Father. This is what it means to walk in the Spirit. Jesus constantly told his disciples and the people around him, "I have come to do the will of my Father. I speak what my Father tells me to speak, and I do what my Father asks me to do." Jesus challenged people, saying in John chapter 8 verse 46, "Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me?" In other words, Jesus was saying, who is there to put me to shame by exposing my sin? Who is there to blow a whistle on me and show a red card saying, I have committed a foul? There was none. There could be none. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." Who knew no sin. Now let us quickly come to the next most important part of our text. God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now remember, we are looking into the scriptures to find out why Christ was born. What is the meaning of Christmas? The scripture told us that he came into the world to save sinners. He came to destroy the works of Satan. This Christmas morning, we hear the Bible telling us that he came to condemn sin in the flesh. If Jesus was sent only to condemn sin in his own flesh, it would mean nothing to us. Yes, at the most, we would all praise him. We would all try to imitate him. But we would still continue to sin and totally be under the power of sin. So there would be no benefit for us. But Christ came to save sinners. He came to empower us with His Spirit, that we would be able to condemn sin in our flesh. That we would, or we could, through His Spirit, mortify the deeds, the desires of our body. Look at verse 13 and 14. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In order to give us the Holy Spirit and make us the sons of God, Jesus would have to take the sins of those that would put their trust in Him and suffer and die for their sins. According to the justice of God, Jesus became a substitute. He suffered on behalf of us. He paid our punishment. Red card means out of the game. We have so many red cards from God that we will never ever able to live. We were banned forever from the sight of God, never to enter into the ground of the Lord, never to wear His team's uniform. But Christ came and became a perfect sacrifice for us. He took our curse upon Him. He took the ban upon Him. The sentence that was passed on us for fouling God on every side, God laid those fouls on Christ. Religious, political, and common man like you and me crucified Jesus Christ because we could not accept Jesus showing us the red card for our fouls against God and against man. You know what happens in the game of football so many a times, is it not? The referee is beaten up for giving a penalty for the foul. Have you not seen that? Jesus, the righteous Son of God, was beaten, condemned, and nailed to the cross. But that is not all. God loved you and me so much that He wanted to bring us back again into His kingdom and give us eternal life. And for this reason, He transferred our sins, our fouls, our ban, our punishment upon the Holy Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. He poured His anger upon Jesus, His Son, and punished Him for our sins. Sin had to be punished, and the innocent blood had to be shed for the forgiveness of sins. This may not appeal to your reasoning, but the reasoning and the justice of God is better than ours. It is perfect. Christmas is not a joke, dear friends. It is not a silly fun time. Getting drunk, going for dances, exerting your desires, and having the lust of our flesh to the full. It is not about making merry in eating, dressing, drinking, and dancing. Jesus says, this is what the Gentiles seek after. This is what the Gentiles seek after. Christmas is about true life. Christmas is red. It is red. It is about red card. It is about a whistleblower. It is about Santa Claus. It is not about Santa Claus that provides the desires of your flesh. It is about the Lamb of God who came to take away our sins and give us new life. You know what happened to Herod? When he heard that the new king is born, oh, he got the red card.
He got a red card and he could not take it. He knew that he would have to depart, either change, either stand with Christ, for Christ, bow down to him like the Magi did, or he had to get away or to kill Christ, and that is what he opted for, to kill Christ Jesus, isn't it? But it is about the Lamb of God who came to take away our sins and give us new life. Christmas brings in new life. It brings condemnation to foul language, foul desires, foul acts of the flesh and the mind. It brings hope for the depraved world of sin. Look, dear friends, before I close, God put all your fouls and my fouls, all your filth and my filth on Christ. Christ died and he rose again. This means that God put all our filth and burnt it on Jesus. And Jesus had to take the burnt. Jesus died, was buried, but he rose again. Our filth is burnt. You are set free. Do you believe in this incredible love of God? If you do, then say this Christmas. Say it today. Pray it now. Pray it now, dear friends, as I say it. Father, I love you. You are merciful and so very kind to forgive me and pardon my filthy desires and deeds. Thank you for Jesus, your Son. He took my filthy flesh and rebellious mind upon him and suffered and died. I want to become yours, my Lord, and want to make your desires and thoughts my way of life. With your power, I want to condemn sin in my flesh. O Lord, help me. Help me to put my trust in you, that you have done everything that has to be done on my behalf. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.